The next two sessions will unveil a subconscious tool that is the underlying motive of nearly all your behavior, both positive and negative. Tony calls this tool your primary question. This question is the power that shapes your destiny and affects every decision you make. But what if you could become aware of that question and consciously reframe it by asking a more empowering question? Well, that's strategy number 6. Let's begin as Tony shares with you his journey to discovering his own primary question.
When I was 17 years old and I realized I had such huge dreams, and it was really wonderful to dream big and I could achieve a lot of it, but if I was going to achieve all of it, I couldn't rely on good luck and just a good psychology and metaphysics, that I also had to do the practical side, that I had to be able to manage immense number of resources simultaneously. So at 17, I went and took a time management class where they had a binder and they taught you how to do it, kind of like the people now do time systems or day planners or Franklin Covey, those kinds of things. And I went through this class. It was called the Time Bank. And I really applied it. It instantaneously transformed my productivity. So in my adult lifetime, I have never been out without a system for managing my life. You know, it was managing my time initially. Within about 3 years, that massive productivity became overwhelmed because as I got more effective, I took on more. And so I maxed out the capability of a to-do planning system. Because no matter what to-do planner you have, whether it's a, you know, some electronic to-do planner, you know, like a Home Pilot or a Franklin Covey type of thing, or a day runner or a day timer, they all are really identical. All they do is have you make a list of what it is you need to do on a day and then prioritize it A, B, or C, which you never do, and then number them in order, and then schedule them. For most people, what it really is a place to put their credit cards, their telephone numbers, and their calendar, and write down a few to-dos that they rarely cross off, right? Because most people are overwhelmed because they know that system cannot compete with their life. And for most people, they feel like a failure. So I evolved a system that was then known as OPEN, now is known as RPM, meaning results-focused, purpose-driven, massive action planning. I developed the system, and suddenly I could run 5 companies and do it effectively. And then all of a sudden, 8 companies, including a public company, and my 4 kids, and myself, and my productivity exploded. So I used this for myself for years, and then about, 7 years ago, I thought, this is crazy. I have this benefit, nobody else does, so I taught it in my company. And we doubled our productivity within the company. We doubled our gross sales, and we tripled our profits by getting everybody just on my executive team to apply this. And it became so much more fun, which was even more powerful. So I started saying, man, I gotta teach this. And so gradually, I finally said, okay, I got to build this into its own program, which we've now done. And before I did that, I thought, okay, I need to go research all the time management programs, because that's what I do is manage your time. This is really a way to manage your life. And that isn't just a play on words. It's a radically different way of thinking. Because in to-do planning, what's the question you ask all the time? What do I need to do? And the problem with that is what you need to do will be based on whatever is making the biggest demand on you in the moment. What you really have to ask yourself is, what do I want? What's my outcome? What's the result? And if I want that, why do I want it? So I have enough emotion to do it. And then thirdly, what specific action will get me there? And give yourself lots of actions instead of being anal and thinking only one, because one action or two actions don't usually work. So this process, as I started to put it together, I thought, okay, let me go look at everybody else's stuff. I don't want to just assume it's better, and maybe I can learn something. So I went to a series of programs, Franklin Covey, et cetera. And it was kind of interesting going back to programs after all these years, because people find me, they go, like, what are you doing here? And I said, well, I'm here to learn, you know? And honestly, I'd sit through these classes, and I'd pull my hair out and go, this is so basic, I can't even believe it. But people were so juiced because, you know, I'm very lucky. Since 17, I've known those basics. I couldn't be where I am if I hadn't learned those basics. But, you know, people are juiced, like, at this breakthrough thought, and I thought, oh, my God, their minds are going to go blown when we do this. So then Stephen Covey's a good friend of mine, and when Stephen Covey had, at that time, was not merged yet with Franklin. And so Stephen invited me to go to one of their programs, and so I did, and I have immense respect for him. He's a great man. He's one of the people in this industry that walks their talk. And so Stephen wasn't teaching it. It was a little class being taught locally by somebody else that they had trained. And so that morning, I got up, and I was going to go to the class, and I got a phone call from my daughter. And she was really upset about something in her personal life. And so I had to weigh, talk to my daughter and support her, or take off and go to the class. And when I weighed those things, I thought, what's most important to me, my daughter was. So I spent an hour and a half with her on the phone. As a result, now I either miss the class or I show up about 30 or 40 minutes late. And so I thought, I'll show up late for time management class. That should be interesting. So, because truthfully, if I had to weigh the outcome, I was committed to the outcome, not a timeline, which is how I run my life. So I thought, well, I'll sneak in the back. I'm just there to listen, see what's there anyway. So I go there, and as I come in, somebody immediately goes, oh, Mr. Robbins, we're so excited you're here. We've been waiting for you. And the person who's teaching the class, I guess, was a Tony fan. And so they had saved the front seat in the entire place right there for me, right? So they had me come down, walk down the aisle, you know, the slow thing. Everybody's looking, and I sit down here. They go, oh, God, right? Mr. Robbins is here. Thank you for being here. I appreciate the time in which you arrived. You know, I said, thanks. You know, I didn't give any explanation. I just sat there, right? And so this person began to teach to me. Because this person, sometimes when people get excited about something, you know, a person, you know, they get really hooked. And so this person's looking at me the whole time. Now, I care about how people feel. So I can't ignore them. So I'm looking back, nodding the same look. Yeah. But after about 45 minutes of this, it was so bad. This is not a comment on Stephen. It's a comment on the particular teacher, right? And Stephen didn't design this course anyway. And it was bad. And I'm stuck on the front row, right? And so finally, after a while, what I started doing is I finally had to break eye contact because I couldn't fake that this was great. You know, I didn't want to lie. So I break eye contact and I write notes. And then pretty soon, if you've ever been around me, people have been around me when I get in a creative mode, like things come through me and bam, I start writing so fast it looks like I'm spastic because ideas are coming through me faster than I can write them down. So as I'm sitting there and I start to go in that mode, writing like crazy scribbling, you know, and when I'm all done, you can't read anything I wrote, but I know what it is, right? And so the bottom line is I'm writing. I write like that for a good hour. And then we have a break. And so finally we get up and I use it to stretch. Other people are just walking around and I get a group of people that come up to talk to me, about 15, 20 people. And the thing that struck me that was really interesting, that really was the trigger for this primary question technology, was that they came up like, what do you hear, whatever, and I just was only positive, of course. I never be negative about somebody else's thing. And I said, I'm here to learn, and there's great stuff here. Every single person that came up to me, bar none, whatever else they said, they all said, what are you doing up here? Oh, can I see your book? Or what is that you're writing? And I said, well, it's just notes. They go, but you're like writing like crazy. And they said, there isn't that much here for you to be writing that much, one guy said, right? And I said, well, you know, I'm not just writing what I'm learning, I'm writing how I relate to what I'm learning and how I might utilize that or how I might change some things or things I would teach my trainers. And I'm thinking about all kinds of things, right? And so people look at me and you see them, they look at my notes, they look at me and they get this funny look. And enough people did it that I started going, why do I take notes like that? And why do I just go into such intense state? And then I thought, what was I taking notes about? So I pulled my notebook out and started looking at it. And what my notes are really filled with is all the ways that I would change or improve the program because it was really bad. And stuff I had big highlights on, this is what you should do instead. And I was listening, I was writing, right? So I thought, that's interesting, I was writing that. So I thought, what triggered me to take all these notes? Like, what was I thinking? What was I focusing on? Because what you focus on controls your entire life. Everything in your life is controlled by focus.